Oh, that's the sound of a very loud horn. Stop shouting. I'm your host, Chris Kowild, and with me is Burbank Hank. I'm very hungover for some reason. Hank, I...
Well, buddy, you got to pace yourself, man. You got to pace yourself because Tuesday night is game one of the NBA playoffs for the Clippers. I'm feeling confident. I feel optimistic. I feel like we've had this rest. And man, when we play on Tuesday, game one, we're going to be awesome.
I hope we're not rusty, game one.
Oh, we won't be rusty, buddy. We took off this time. We laid it up like a golfer here for a couple of weeks because we felt confident. And I just feel like the rest is going to do us good. We're going to come out firing from three. Everybody's going to do great. And we'll be just the only thing will be which Clippers player will be the sixth player in double digits. That'll be our only question. It's going to be fun.
I had a terrible nightmare, I guess.
Oh, no.
You know what's funny, Hank?
Absolutely
nothing.
Flipping nothing there's, is funny.
There's
right
no
now.
Funny. There's no joy and there's no love in the world.
Dang it.
So I went to the game yesterday. You weren't there, but you'll be there Tuesday night, and I think that's what they need, and you'll be there, and I think the team will respond.
I blame myself, Chris.
Also, not there Saturday afternoon, Marcus Morris Sr. Probably more important that he be there than you, per se, but he was horrible. He was our best three-point assassin. He had the highest marks of any Clipper. He was upwards, I believe he was second best in the NBA, but he was certainly top five in three-point percentage, and he went 0 for 6. And I'd like to talk about what I think the X factors were of why we lost. I'd like to talk about the plus sides, and there were a couple of plus sides. And I'd like to talk about who you thought was good and who you thought it was bad. Okay, Hank?
Great. Yeah, let's do it. If I'm follow your lead, and I hope that we end this thing on things. I want to get back to an optimistic place. I want to just say I'm not in my comfort zone, Clippers Nation. I am not in my comfort zone. There's a reason why we do our podcast almost exclusively after wins. One, we're homers. Mm. Two, we're sensitive.
Sensitive homers. Marge, you didn't have to
it's
tell
redundant.
It like it is.
Sensitive and homer is like the most redundant statement of all time. But I just... It's rough. We couldn't physically do and emotionally do our podcast after the loss yesterday.
Well, what's funny is the difference between a Clipper fan, and I understand we have years of PTSD that we're recuperating from.
Oh, decades. Decades, buddy.
And an L-word fan. So we have a game Saturday afternoon at 1:30 p.m., everyone in Clipper Nation sighs and gasps and says, well, we can't possibly win a day game. Meanwhile, down the hall, L-word fans see that they're up an hour earlier, noon 30 on a Sunday, and they're like, we're going to win it all. And they didn't even clinch a playoff berth until a few days ago. But that's just the difference. And I understand they're seasoned to win. They've won a handful of championships over there. But in the past decade, yes, they are the current Mickey Mouse champs. But they've been a losing basketball team the majority of this decade, and we've been a winning basketball team in that we've won more than we've lost every single year for a decade. Now, I get it.
Well, buddy, there's a big difference between a has-been and a never-was. A has-been just continues to believe they're just one step away from return to glory.
Right.
And someone who has never quite achieved it, it's easy to imagine, based on your patterns, that it's all going to fall apart. I just would like to remind Clippers Nation, it's not a one-game series.
It is not a one-game series, much like the play-in.
No, not a one-game series.
The play-in tournament, now that was a one-game series. That was last
week. That was a one-game series! Yeah.
And I'd like to tell you guys that last year's champs, I can't remember who they were, but they lost the first game of the first round. And then 2 years ago, I do remember who that was, the Toronto Raptors. They lost the first game of the first round. They also fell in an 0-2 hole in the Eastern Conference Finals, and that team was led by Kawhi Leonard, our leader. So,
do you think that we could go the rest of our podcast without talking about the two-hole? It's gross. People don't want to talk about it.
No one's interested in your two-hole. So, here's the deal, Clipper Nation. Kawhi Leonard was fantastic in game one. We have, and I said on the last episode, here are our three top scorers. Here are our three pillars. We need these three guys every night. And then it doesn't matter who are the other three guys that fill in the gap to get those six guys in double digits to guarantee the W. Now, it's harder to get six guys in double digits if you're only playing nine guys. Terrence Mann played like 45 seconds. Everyone else was a nine-man rotation. There's so much to unpack and so much to talk about. So our three guys, 1.5 showed up last night. And we need at least 2 or 2.5, and ideally all three, to beat the Mavs. And I say 1.5 because Kawhi Leonard was spectacular. He put in a great game. He had the best line. I don't have it in front of me, but he was the best player on the Clippers by leaps and bounds.
No, he went. He double-doubled. He went 26 and 10. He had 5 assists, 4 steals.
Ah, the 4 steals.
He looked nice.
He looked great.
He looked nice.
Paul George.
But Paul George didn't show up until the second half.
Yes, and he hit his first field goal in the second quarter, and that's not enough, and he didn't show up, and we had 1.5 guys. He showed up in the second half better than not showing up at all, like Marcus Morris. Marcus Morris didn't show up at all. I say, dust off the education reform jersey, slap it on him, and let's get Marcus Morris, education reform senior, out there. Because he was a great hero for us last year in the playoffs. And yesterday, he was a bit of a dud, Hank.
He was a bit of a dud. And let's not look at the 10-point loss and say that we were never in this game.
No.
I mean, the score was tied 100 to 100. They broke Lawler's law, but within like 30 seconds after that, we had tied them.
Yes.
We were
up 98-96 with 6 minutes left.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So, you know, it just so happens that then we fell apart in those final couple of minutes while Luka stayed hot.
Yeah. Well, he stayed hot. Now, here's the thing, Hank. Luka only had either 1 point or one field goal in the fourth quarter. He did have a triple-double, and he played great. But the Clippers did hold him to either, I don't have it in front of me, but it was either 1 point or one basket, literally, in the entire fourth quarter. And Kristaps Porzingis, I want to say, had like 6 points in the fourth quarter. So he can live with that. What sucks was that Rick Brunson's kid got hot, and Finley somebody got hot. Whatever.
Finney. Yeah, he went 4 of 5. He went 4 of 5, and Hardaway went 5 of 9 from three.
I'm guessing, you know, they probably had six guys in double digits, is my guess.
I would also guess that they did not shoot sub 30% from three.
Well, that's like, the thing. They went darn near
50% from three yesterday, and at one point they had shot the exact same amount of at threes as us. I want to say it was 37 threes. Yeah. And they had connected for 7 more of them than us.
Yeah, at one point it was.
We had
11 and they had hit 17 and we'd shot the exact same amount. I totally hear you. And that was, look, here's the thing. They shot better than normal from the 3-point land yesterday. They shot better than their average and we shot way worse than our average. So you would think in a 7-game series, that was the one stubbing of the toe. We also gave them an absolute head start. I think you were watching the national broadcast like a fool and didn't see the Bally broadcast, so you missed the first 10 minutes or
sure
something.
Sure did, because the other stink game
went to
not
overtime.
A stink game, by the way, it's a great game if you care about something other than the Clippers.
Which I don't.
Went to overtime. Yeah. Great game, I guess. I'll never know. I didn't watch it.
So if you're a Clipper optimist and you only want to hear the bright siding, please do not tune into the later portion of the show where I will play you the unraveling of Chris Wilde as I clipcast from the building in a downward spiral. And I try, you know, it's a family show, Hank, but at one point it got real dark and real bleak. And I was cocky because here's my one very good takeaway, besides the fact that Kawhi Leonard, I thought, played brilliantly. We were in that game late, and we had absolutely no business being in that game as late as we were. Like you said, it was 100 to 100, and I want to say there was only like 3 minutes left when it was 100 to 100. We literally had no business being in that game. No business.
Well, if you take Rajon Rondo's 3 for 3 from three at one point.
Oh, my gosh.
If you take that out of the mix, we weren't in the game. I mean, we saw the experience. Rondo has played 121 postseason games.
Do you start him?
And I think we saw it.
Do you start him?
I think we saw him.
Do you start him? Do you start him?
Did we start him?
No, we didn't. Start him?
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you got it. You have to always. Here's a dysfunction of like. non-professional,
I really threw a curveball to you.
Fans, I know, but here's the thing, because you want to say yes, right. but what the fan who is not a coach doesn't think about is we're always thinking you got to start the best guy,
right.
But you also have to think about
rotations.
Offense in your second unit.
Yeah.
You got to think about offense in your second unit,
right.
And I don't know. Pat Beverly went four of six from the field.
Yeah.
It's not like he was a dud out there. He went
was a dud, but what
three.
You didn't see, Hank, what you didn't see because you didn't see the first 10 minutes of the game because of stupid overtime.
Yeah.
What you didn't see, and I don't like talking about it, is Pat Bev got in foul trouble early. Luka stormed to the basket, scored easily over Pat Bev, and then yelled too effing small, and it went kind of viral.
I saw the highlight, and I was glad I did not see that because I like my home electronics equipment, and I fear I would have thrown a beer can at the television.
Do you want to talk about growth? Would you like to talk about growth? Would you like to talk
about... Terribly.
Okay, so here's the thing. Very few people describe me as mature, and even fewer call me mature. But here's the thing. I didn't realize that I am as superstitious as I am.
We both have realized this now, back-to-back podcasts.
Absolutely.
Last week, I was like, I'm not superstitious. And then halfway through, I went, oh, God, I am superstitious.
You're very. Apparently, you and I are both very superstitious because last postseason, you and I only clipcasted after W's. But it didn't work, which is why we're clipcasting now, because that didn't work for us last postseason.
They needed us, and we weren't there.
We weren't there. So I'm trying to change it up. Okay, so we're changing it up because we are superstitious. Now, The old me would have literally come home after that loss, taken all of the clothes that I was wearing, and burned them in a ceremonial fire pit.
This is why I have so much more Clippers gear than you, because of all the live games we've left where you threw a Clippers jersey in a dumpster.
Autographed.
And that's not an
autographed.
That's not an exaggeration. Autographed in the trash.
Torn, trashed, disposed of.
Yeah.
But mature. Worldly wild. Okay, Chris
Cowild
took his clothes off and put them in a hamper like a big boy. Now, I won't wear any of the gear that I wore yesterday, maybe ever again, but certainly not until the playoffs are over. But I didn't throw anything out, and I didn't burn anything because I'm a bigger man.
So now is the challenge now that when we win on Tuesday, we will be left to assume that we need to podcast after every single playoffs game in order to keep the streak going?
I don't know. We got to find out, Hank.
I guess we'll see. We're going to have to play it game by game.
Okay, so here's the deal. I thought the takeaways that were good, Kawhi Leonard played brilliantly. Rajon Rondo was the playoff quarterback that we needed him to be. He was wonderful. He got us back in the game multiple times. He gave us leads. And then I thought Nicholas Batum played brilliantly. Not a perfect game, but was just everything you needed.
Not a perfect game, but you could... I mean, he did get 7 rebounds. He did go 50% from the field, 3 of 7 from three. I also liked Nick Batum. I liked that our guys played the game, the whole game, not injured. I do like that we're healthy.
Sure.
That's a nice one. I do think... Yeah, I like Marcus Morris. I really like him. We all know he didn't have a great game.
No, it was the worst.
His plus minus was the worst of the night.
Maybe in NBA history.
At minus 23.
Oh, that's good. I thought it was minus 100 million. So, minus 23 is not nearly as bad as I thought.
I mean, he had a minus that equaled Paul George's point total. You would have liked Paul George to have done shot better from three, but it really Marcus Morris 0 for 6.
Ugh.
He makes two threes. Paul George goes 3 of 8 or goes 50% from three, which he can do. The Clippers do even if they shot 35% from three, this is a very different game.
Yes.
I didn't love seeing Zubats on Doncic.
Ugh.
I didn't like
seeing Bev or Zu on Doncic. Now, Zoo on Doncic in the
Reggie
paint
Jackson.
Makes sense. But Zoo on Doncic from beyond
the
three makes none of the sense.
None of the sense. And also, we talked about this last podcast. One of my questions was, will we see regular season this new Reggie Jackson? Which, of course, for everyone else who follows the Pistons is not new Reggie Jackson. They just knew him. But for me, is new.
Yeah.
This great Reggie Jackson. And he didn't exactly show up 1 for 6 from the field and 0 for 3 from 3.
No.
So
he was garbage.
I do think
he was absolutely
for
garbage.
A game that was still that was tied at 100.
Yes, late.
I still feel like I'm optimistic. I feel good. Yes. I think the Mavericks are very confident. They've been on a winning streak. They came in ready to shoot. And also, this is the 4-5 matchup, people.
Oh, yeah.
This is not the 3-6 matchup. This is not the 2-7 matchup.
Very good point.
We are not, they are not underdogs. The Mavericks are not underdogs. So we got a lot we need to put together.
I mean, we are the favorites. And so one could argue that they're the under, but they're not like the Celtics going up against the Nets right now, for example.
No, and now we're going to test the other thing we talked about in our last episode, which you should go back into our archives and listen to some of these past episodes.
Oh, they're the best.
The other thing that I talked about in the last episode was we now have a coach that makes adjustments.
Yes, Hank.
And now we are all about to put our money where our mouth is and see if that is really the case. It is never just about the players shooting, although in this case, maybe it is. We really just needed our guys to shoot a little better from three. We are a historical three-point shooting team. Historic numbers, great three team that didn't show up to shoot last night. So we're going to find out on Tuesday if there are adjustments that Ty Lue is making or if the guys just need to show up and make shots. But I feel like it's the casual fan in me that just says, we just need to shoot better. But I mean, the numbers don't lie.
I'm glad you brought up Ty Lue because I was going to say the three good takeaways, Kawhi, Rondo, Batum. The three bad takeaways to me, game one, obviously Marcus Morris Sr., horrible. Reggie Jackson, horrible. And I thought Ty Lue didn't do a great job. Now, that being said, we were in it late. And now I want you to put on your coach cap. And you tell me, Hank, if you were the coach, do you A, immediately make adjustments right now to your starting lineup, B, make adjustments to your bench lineup and go deeper, maybe give Mann, Kennard, and Boogie a shot, or C, say, all right, you guys get one more shot to show me my tight nine rotation, show me what you got, and if you go down 0-2, then I make a big adjustment. What do you do?
Well, first of all, if I had my Ty Lue coaching cap on, here's a fun piece of information I learned watching yesterday's broadcast. Apparently, if I were Ty Lue, Chauncey Billups would be my best friend. Did you know they're best friends?
I just assumed they were best friends because
I think that's a fun stat. That's a fun takeaway stat.
Paul George and Reggie Jackson are best friends. DeMarcus Cousins and Rajon Rondo are best friends. You and I are best friends. So I would assume that Chauncey Billups was best friends with somebody in the Clipper organization.
Yeah. Well, that would be the other takeaway I took from the national broadcast was that they really don't ever watch Clippers games. They literally were like, and this is Serge Ibaka? I never heard of that guy. Like, they literally just don't know anything
Serge
about the team.
Ibaka.
It's the quickest name I could mispronounce. I think if it were me, I would chalk it up to, what is it? What's the expression in baseball? The yips. I think
opening
I would just
jitters.
Chalk it up to opening night jitters. That's what I would chalk it up to. I would say Marcus Morris came out shooting cold. He kept hoisting them. It never fell for him. He missed two really important free throws at the end of the game when the lead was slipping away and we had a chance to stay in with them. I want to say they had like 103 and we had 100 and we had a chance to make it 102 and he missed both his free throws.
He was 0 for all free throws and 0 for all three-pointers.
Well, that was his free throws right there. That was the 2 he shot. So I do think that I give it another game. I do think that I look at where things went very well. I do think you could take a look at defensive assignments a little bit and see who you want covering who. But when it comes to the shooting, I sort of feel like you got to get guys out there and let them shoot again. You know, Zoo still went 4 of 5. Pat Beverly went 4 of 6. Some of the guys were out there shooting very nicely. And if Pat Beverly didn't get in foul trouble, maybe it's a different game.
Oh, I think these guys get another shot for sure.
But I don't think you make a lineup adjustment. I don't think you start messing with who starts
and
who comes off the bench.
You don't say, all right, let's now go to Rondo as our starting quarterback and let's bring Pat Bev off the bench. You don't say, okay, let's put Serge Ibaka in the starting center position and have Zoo come off the bench. You say, keep the starting five. That's what you're saying.
I would say that is what I would do, but I would not be mad or confused or say a word again him if Ty Lue said, let's start Serge, because we did have a portion of our season with Serge Ibaka starting as center and Zoo coming off the bench that was very effective.
Oh, yeah.
But I like Zoo. I like Zoo with Pat Beverly. I really like that pairing together. But that, but I would not.
Well, we're
going to
find out.
We don't know the game plan.
We don't know. Because
no, we don't know.
Ty Lue has told us, and I made a wonderful video about it, he doesn't give a damn what you think. He does what he wants.
No, he doesn't.
He's a grown man.
I'm a grown man.
I'm a grown
man. He's like me talking to my wife about other people when I'm feeling myself. Babe, I'm a grown man.
Yeah, I was like, Ty.
They don't tell me what to do, babe. Babe, they don't tell me what to do. Yeah. I'm a grown man.
We got a little Ty Lue road rage happening. Like,
I loved
somebody
it.
Somebody merged in front of him that he didn't like. I'm a grown man, and I'll tell
he's
you
so,
when you can merge.
He's so mellow. It's great to see him.
That was great.
Lose it.
Apparently, he doesn't do Twitter. He doesn't insta-twit, is what he called it. His words.
Yeah.
He has
and I don't
never
think he was being
insta-twitted.
I don't think he was making a joke, not knowing what it's called.
I loved it.
I don't think that. I think he really doesn't know what those things are called because he doesn't use them.
He does not insta-twit. I love it. I also have never insta-twitted. I'm also...
No one has.
Did you know that Ty Lue and I are the same age? Did you know that?
I did not know that. No, I didn't know that.
And did you know that I'm best friends with Chauncey Billups? That's not true. That last part's not true.
I wish you were, because that would make me Chauncey Billups.
You're absolutely right. All right, so Tuesday night, I'm very curious to see the adjustments that Ty Lue makes. Here's what I would do if I put on my coach's cap.
Oh, yeah, go for it.
I would start the same five. I would say, okay, Marcus Morris Sr., you're going to do better. Paul George, you're going to make a field goal in the first quarter. Reggie Jackson, you're going to come off the bench and you're going to do better. But here's what I would do different if I was wearing my coach's cap. I would also go to the arsenal. I would dig deeper in my back pocket and I would look to Terrence Mann, Luke Kennard, and Boogie Cousins for more minutes. Boogie and Luke got 0 minutes. Terrence Mann got a garbage minute combined of like a handful of seconds at the end of a handful of quarters. So I would have them on the ready. I saw what happened with a 9-game tight rotation. Now, that being said, you start your five, you see what they do. If they're struggling, I'm not waiting till we're down 11 before I'm calling a timeout, which is what I believe Ty Lue did yesterday. So I would give my starting five, the guys, another shot at it, but I would absolutely not stick with that tight nine. Now, granted, you have to see what happens, right? But I'm not saying, okay, let's flip. Because, look, Rajon Rondo was the best point guard out there. The best player out there was Luka Doncic. The second best player out there was Kawhi Leonard. And I don't think that's up for debate.
No, I agree with all of that. I agree with all of that. And Kawhi Leonard also got to the line 9 times. For 9 shots.
Right.
You know, some things were going our way. Paul George finally got some calls.
I did not like that. Look, that call, and then they challenged it, and the refs upheld it, which I thought was such garbage.
Dumb challenge.
Paul George offensive foul, that was the worst call I've ever seen. He was literally, he did not push off. He did not elbow a guy. He put up a shot. He threw two moving defenders, guys that were running backwards. That was not an offensive foul. The Clippers were right to challenge it. The refs were wrong to say that it was not overturned. That was such garbage. What's the point of the challenge if you're not going to get it right looking at it in glorious high definition? Because I watched it over and over and over again. I watched it in real time. I watched it replayed. And I'm telling you, it was not an offensive foul. All right, so that happened while I was clip casting live. So
unfortunately, we did not just lose by two. So while I agree or disagree,
but at that point, Hank, we were up by two or three. You can listen because I was literally clip casting live during that, and I'll tell you the score while it happened. But we would have gotten the and one, or he would have gone to the free throw line for two, and we would have been up multiple possessions late. So that was a huge momentum shifter. And then the guys could not score a basket after that exact happening. It stopped the entire game dead in its tracks. So I can, if I'm going to point my finger at one thing that sucked, that happened late, that literally we tried everything in our power to do everything right and just didn't win. And I get it. Like Coach Knoll said, Chuck Knoll of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He was at one point the most winningest Super Bowl coach before Belichick, I believe. He said, you got to play better than the ref's ref. And that's exactly what the Clippers do. We're never going to get the breaks. Every now and again we do. But you got to play better than the ref's ref. You got to put yourself in a position where you're up multiple possessions. And obviously we got to perform better in the clutch moments. But here was a wonderful takeaway, Hank. Even though Marcus Morris was as flat as a pancake yesterday, after we lost and I was pretty demoralized, I rode the elevator down from the rafters because they put me up like I literally was attached with the harness up in the ceiling by the lights. It was
in the very cushy press area, to be fair.
I did have my own television screen and, you know.
I mean,
I know, but still. So I ride the elevator down after the loss and I just walk around with my press pass and I go, you know what? I wonder if I can't find flat, because after seeing flat Marcus, I wonder if I can find flat Chris and flat Henry. Do you understand flat Stanley? Do you know who that is?
Oh, yeah, big time.
Okay, so for those of you not in the know, flat Stanley is some flattened person and kids all over America or the world literally read flat Stanley, get a flat Stanley, and then they take pictures with their flat Stanley all over the place. So I looked around Staples Center to try to find my flat Chrissy and my flat Henry. And I'll be damned. But I found both of us multiple times, multiple shots, Hank. I submitted a 19-year-old photo of you and I from the 2002-2003 season where you're wearing a Clippers 24 Andre Miller jersey, and I'm wearing Clippers 7 Lamar Odom jersey, which when you look at it, it's us, Clippers 24-7, and it has been for the past 19 years. You and I have been to literally the lion's share, the majority of the home games of the past 19 seasons. And why is that a factor? I'll tell you why. Because the last time we saw the Clippers go down 0-1 at home, round one of the playoffs, was versus the Warriors. The same Warrior team who the next season would go on to be the Western Conference champs 5 years in a row, who would go on to win the finals, who would go on to be the champions. Well, we fell 0-1 to the Warriors. I think it was 2014. Don't quote me. We came back, and we absolutely shellacked them and won by like 20 or 30. At one point, we may have had a 40-point lead in game two. So Tuesday night is a big night. Do we respond like we did all those years ago when we fell 0-1? Do we respond like Kawhi Leonard's Raptors in their championship run responded when they fell 0-1? I believe they lost that first game and then they won in 5 is how I remember it. I know for a fact the Clippers went down 0-1, won game 2 handily, and then a couple games later the whole Donald Sterling fiasco happens, but we win that series in 7. So just because we're down 0-1, the sky is not falling, Clipper Nation. I permit you, because yes, Clipper Nation, I'm the boss of you. You may feel upset that we're 0-1, but you may not be distraught and be absolutely cataclysmic because we're down 0-1. I will permit you to get there if we're ever 0-2. And if we're ever 0-3, by all means, the sky has fallen. Go to the ledge. Nothing means anything. But right now it's 0-1 and it's anybody's series. They have to win 3. We have to win 4. We have to get home court back. I argue that there is no home court advantage because the majority of our fans are in 2D. There were 6,000 of us, and the loudest we were was when Kawhi Leonard absolutely destroyed, and I say destroyed because he destroyed his scrotum. What? He destroyed Maxi Pad Kleba. Absolutely made him a bloody sanitary napkin in front of everyone at Staples Center.
Jeez Louise, Chris, stop it.
There goes the family show.
Oh, I'm just we made it this far.
I'm just priming you
trails
for what you're about to hear after the final horn when you see a man unravel in real time. But anyway, tell me about that moment for you, Hank, when Kawhi Leonard just took the game in his own hands and stormed down to the other end of the court, slam dunked it over Maxi, and then literally our big three, Marcus Morris, Paul George, and Kawhi Leonard, all screamed and glared and flexed at a Maxi Kleba who was literally on the floor.
Well, I certainly obviously enjoyed it. I enjoyed the dunk. I especially enjoyed it because Kleber, if you Kleber or Kleber, however you say it, I assume Kleber, he actually missed, I want to say, 8 or 9 of the last regular season games because of Achilles soreness. So I think he is an Achilles heel for the team, if you pardon the expression. And he's a guy you can attack. He may not have the usual amount of ups that he would normally have. But of course, I found it exciting. Any of those moments of looseness for the team, I'll say, I really enjoyed. Reggie Jackson's another one. For how much I'm saying he didn't play that great, even on a night of poor shooting, he took a charge late in the fourth quarter that was very exciting for me as far as like the energy, getting these guys pumped up. And I do wonder if these guys are in their heads a little bit. You know, they're shaking off the rust flakes a little bit. They're coming back into, you know, we beat these guys last season, but we beat these guys last postseason after listening to a lot of fans saying, oh, Porzingis got ejected, yep. All these different things. So I like any moment that the Clippers are getting loose and yelling and screaming. I don't love how that photo has been memeified on
right.
Twitter and other social media because it's three guys yelling and screaming and celebrating on what ultimately became a loss.
Oh, whatever, yeah.
But those
yeah,
are the yeah. three guys we need to come up big.
Oh, yeah.
So if standing shoulder to shoulder with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, actually, I would say if Paul George and Marcus Morris Sr. standing shoulder to shoulder with Kawhi Leonard screaming helps them glean and by osmosis take and photosynthesis or whatever the heck the scientific process is, uh-huh. get some of his juice into themselves,
the
I'm all for it.
Yeah.
I'm all for it.
How many?
We need these guys to get fired up.
Do we need all three of them? Do we need two out of three?
Because by the way, I don't know if you know this, but they are allowing a higher capacity of fans at the Dallas arena.
Yeah. There's no law in Texas.
So I want to say we had 6,000 something people in the stadium.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That holds 18,000. They're going to be almost full. So we really cannot go to Dallas down two games. So we need to get fired up. So I liked it. I love the dunk. I love the posterization.
Oh, yeah.
I love Kawhi Leonard taking the game into his own hands. I love him being our leading scorer. I just don't really want him to be our best player by a half dozen numbers in every stat line.
Right.
That's not my preference.
No, somebody else has
but
to
I
be
I love
there.
That moment.
I'm curious. Do all three of our big three have to show up? I really do feel that as long as two or 2.5 of them show up, we're going to be good. And then if all three show up, we got the W. Put it in the bank.
Well, yes, they do all need to show up. In the short answer, we need them all to show up better than they did.
Sure. Certainly, well, only I mean, one and a half of them showed up, and
yeah,
we were in
I mean,
it
it's,
late.
Yeah, I mean, if Paul George goes for 30 or Marcus Morris goes for 12, it's a very different
sure.
game. I
or
mean,
six.
Marcus Morris going for 6.
He scored
really
4 points. He scored 4.
That's not even it. That's not even it for Marcus Morris. Like, it's not like we're saying he needed to hit shoot 40 points. We just needed him to get 18.
I'll take 8 at this point.
Even 8. So, and again, this is not the Trash the Clippers podcast.
No.
There's no doubt that players have cold games.
It's all about
it's all about how he responds
and how we react.
And I think... And Marcus Morris can respond with the best of them.
Did you hear the conspiracy? There's a conspiracy. Do you want to hear it?
I heard it, and I want you to tell the fans about
here's
it. Yes,
the conspiracy.
I heard it.
Markieff Morris played yesterday for the Clippers.
Oh, Lord.
His identical twin with identical twin tattoos. Markieff played, and that's why he was so terrible yesterday. We need Marcus, not Markieff, to show. We need Mook. Calling all Mooks. We need Mook.
Calling all Mooks. I think it's going to be. I think that we're going to play great. I think we're going to make adjustments. Each player is going to make adjustments. I think Ty Lue's got some things he's looking at.
Yeah.
I think that the Doc Rivers move. You tell me if I'm wrong. Would have been just to say these guys need to shoot better, and they will on Tuesday. That's what I think Doc Rivers would have done.
I think Doc Rivers.
And I think there's some sense in that, but I think there's going to be other adjustments to be made as well.
I think Doc Rivers would have said, "Okay, here's the deal.
It's funny, you know. Pat Bev's just a kid from Chicago. They had a week off and it hurt him, okay?
You know, but literally, Doc Rivers would have said we had a week off and it ended up hurting us. He would do the exact same thing game two as he did game one. And honestly, I think the Clippers still win regardless, even if Doc does nothing. You brought up a good point. Last year in the bubble, we won in 6, but also we had played every other day. Every other day we had played a game. We didn't get any time off before the playoffs in the bubble. We went to the bubble. We were rusty as hell when we showed up there. But by the time we started cooking game one of the playoffs, we were ready to play. We had played 8 games before that in 16, 17 days or something. So we were playing every other day. We were fluid. We obviously were rusty barnacles yesterday at noon 30. And here's the thing, 1:30. We need to bring it. And I mean everyone. The players have to bring it. I don't care if the game is at 4:20 a.m. on a Tuesday. I don't care if the game is at 11 a.m. on a Wednesday on Catalina Island. I don't care. You got to bring it whenever it is. Whenever tip-off is and wherever tip-off is, you need to bring it, players. And Clipper Nation, if there's only 6,000 of us in the building, it's this weird optical illusion because you look around and you see people except for their flat Stanleys. They're not real. So you think there's 19,000 bodies in the building. There aren't. There's 6,000. You need to be loud. You need to be triply loud if you are in that building. I was sitting there watching the game, and when the away team would go up to a free throw, for example, I believe Luka Doncic was the first person to go to the free throw line in the game, and certainly for Dallas, you could literally hear the Dallas fans chanting MVP. And then all of a sudden the Clipper Nation goes, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, wait. Oh, am I here? Am I 3D? Am I flat? Am I a cardboard cutout? No, I'm real. And then they started booing and making noise. If you are in that building, you need to bring the halls of medicine with you. You need to hydrate and you need to lose your mind and voice every single time. I need you to show up, Clipper Nation. I need you Clippers to show up and I need you fans to show up. Now, who shows up Tuesday night? To the fans? To the players? We're going to find out. Burbank, Hank, and I will be in the building. We will be clip casting during the game, after the game. It's going to be awesome. And just so you know, Hank, God, I missed you yesterday, pal.
Oh, buddy, I'm so excited to be going back. I want to throw one more bright side on this thing. And that is that the Clippers had 7 steals to the Mavericks. I can't remember if they had 2 steals or 3 steals, 2 blocks or 3 blocks, but they basically combined steals and blocks, had 5 and we had 14.
Oof.
We were doing some really good things. It just came down to shooting, and I have a feeling they're going to make it happen on Tuesday, but holy cow, broadcast partner, am I excited to be there with you. Just do some casting in the building, try to find our cutouts and just be some cut-ups. I'm excited.
Yes, if you're in the building, I want you to be loud and proud. I want you to be way too loud. I want you to get the headache. And I also want you to try to find Hank and I, our 2D likenesses, and do disturbing things to them and take selfies with them and send them and add us at LA Clipcast on Instagram or at LA Clipcast on Twitter or the new page we have, at LA Clipcast on InstaTwit. Check it out, InstaTwit, available in the App Store. Hey, Burbank Hank, do me a favor, man. There's going to be a lot of me on the tail end of this show. So do you mind bringing us in for a landing and then throwing to a man unraveling and losing his ever-loving mind live on tape in Staples Center Game 1?
I mean, I don't mind, and I've got practice, because for over 20 years of friendship, I've been throwing to a man who is losing his mind. So I will say, Clippers fans and Clippers Nation, toot toot, we are back in the building and enjoying this game on Tuesday. Thanks for joining us for a sad cast. But now I want to really give you some entertainment as you listen to the bold, arrogant, cocksure Chris Kawild falling apart like a miserable sack of poo. And on a side note,
A side note. Oh, that's such a bullshit call. Holy crap, is that bullshit? How is that an offensive foul? Oh my God, is that a flop? While he's running backwards. And the refs just trying to give Dallas this game on a silver platter. Luka, don't you just hate Luka? Over to the hornless, tall, freakishly ugly unicorn Porzingis. And Tim Hardaway Jr. with a deep three gives him Lawler's. It's 100-98. Clippers gonna disprove Lawler's law. Ralph Lawler doesn't work here anymore. Rajon Rondo is your quarterback. 4 minutes left in game one of round one, Clippers versus the Dallas Blue Horsies. Kawhi Leonard, who's been the hero, has the ball back up top to Rondo. Rondo drives, dishes. Luke Morris for three. And he misses. He's missed all of them, I think. Rondo for three. Give it to me. Oh. Yeah, Luke Morris literally 0 for 6 from beyond the arc, which is basically, that's your ball game right there. 333. The threes are wild. 333, turnover. Free throws. Free throws. Free throws. Kawhi Leonard over to Rondo. Rondo over to PG-13. PG-13 with the shake and bake for a deep two. Bingo! That's not a bingo. Ralph Waller doesn't work here anymore. It's for two. But it's 100-100, century to century. 3 minutes and 5 seconds left. Holy cow. Let's start afresh. And who can win the final 3 minutes? The Mavericks have the ball. Rondo challenging Doncic at the half-court logo. Doncic foolishly eating a lot of clock, finding jerk-off face for another three. Jeez Louise. Finney Smith and Hardaway Jr. have been lighting us up. 103-100 bad guys. Kawhi Leonard from the top of the three, doing Kawhi things, feeds to the Batum. Batum in dirty to Mook. Mook turning, firing, trying to get one. He's fouled. Mook has been absolute trash. 4 points, shooting 2 for 8, 0 for 6 from three. Good news, Finney Smith just picked up his fifth foul. We need him to foul out. He's got 18 points, whoever the hell D. Finney Smith is. And Marcus Morris going to the line to try to get his fifth and sixth point. He makes both of them. Clippers down one, 2:31 left in this playoff round one, game one. Clippers have home court advantage, although you wouldn't know it from the absolute, I'm being a little bit of a negative Nancy, and it's not working. Maybe this is why Clipper Nation is being so quiet today. Marcus Morris Sr. trying to get that second free throw. The Clippers, the best free throw shooting team in the history of the league, hitting around 81%. Morris goes 0 for 2. He's absolute trash out there. Well, that sucks. Dallas with 6 seconds left on the shot clock, 102 seconds left in the game. 3-point lead for the bad guys. In, down, dirty, and one. I literally want to kill myself. That's the sound of the horn. Welcome to a disappointing playoff Clipcast. I'm your host, Chris Kowild. With me, as always, is Burbank Hank. Burbank, what'd you think of that horrifying L? What's the matter, pal? Cat got your tongue? He's a little flat tonight, folks. Let's go.